honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
I have already had the airbrushing discussion with my 10-and-a-half-year-old daughter. So now whenever she sees a magazine, she's like, you know, Mommy, that girl or woman doesn't really look like that. She's airbrushed. You know, you can't really look like that. She'll go on this big diatribe. I'm so proud. But it's really tough because even though we know that, I still find myself comparing. And today we're going to be talking about comparison traps and looking more carefully at what you indulge in and not to compare yourself. So we've got Alexandra Jameson back with us. Hello, Alexandra. So glad you're here.
Oh, thank you for having me about this topic. I'm so thrilled you're bringing this out.
Yeah, we are too, because again, it's huge. You know, you see all these images and they're unrealistic. And I think what's tough, and I used to say this growing up, that when I was a kid in the 70s, and yes, I know I'm giving away my age, which is fine. You know, I compare myself to women who were at least real. Now, so many women are enhanced with this and that and the breast implants and the butt implants and this, you can't really be that unless you're going to go have surgery. Now that's a whole nother topic. I'm not putting people down who do that. I'm just saying that our girls are looking at things that aren't even attainable without intervention. Does that make sense?
And it's as true for our children as it is for us. You know, there is something built into us, permission to be human. We compare things. We compare ourselves to each other. It's an evolutionary process that actually helps us, you know, identify ourselves in the social sphere. But things are getting a little out of control with the proliferation of social media. And there's something called social comparison theory. And that just means that we determine our own social and personal worth based on how we think we stack up against others. So we're constantly making self-evaluations across a huge variety of domains, you know, attractiveness, wealth, intelligence, success. And with the rise of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and, of course, reality TV, it's really, really hard to pull apart what's true and what is just mind chatter. Unfortunately, that mind chatter can have really harmful effects for our self-worth, our confidence, and our health.
You know, it's interesting. There was a study, I don't know if you gals saw it, about people who look at Facebook a lot are actually more depressed than people who don't because they're constantly doing the comparison thing, right?
I get that. That's interesting. Where did you see that study, Lisa?
I saw it online. I saw it on Facebook. No, actually, I don't know. I saw it somewhere online.
Yeah.
Alexandra, well, what do you have to say about that?
Well, listen, I think that we are going to compare ourselves no matter what, because again, it's built into us. But there are ways that you can begin to, you know, have some more consciousness, more awareness around this whole Facebook envy that you're talking about. You know, this negative comparison trap can be really dangerous for us. And there was a study that showed that 1 in 3 people registered feelings of envy, but not just envy, misery and loneliness after spending time looking at friends' Facebook profiles. And this is because, again, we're comparing our backstage to their big show, right? We're looking at their life, their outsides by our insides. People only really show the good stuff and often even the airbrushed stuff. So if you're following, you know, inspirational yoga people or juicers or cleansers or whatever on Facebook and Instagram, you know, those pictures are doctored. They're set up. They have people on staff to make things look perfect. So if you find yourself feeling bad after watching anybody else's social media, just stop following them. It doesn't make them bad or they're a bad person. It just means that you have a certain relationship to shame when it comes to this person. And we don't need any more shame in our lives, ladies. It really only increases our emotional food cravings. I go into that in my book, Women, Food, and Desire. It's such a, it's like a rampant plague, this shame-induced emotional eating that we're enduring right now.
You know, I love that you say that. And there are some amazing, amazing people out there today, like even celebrities like Colby. And I can never pronounce her name. Is it Kayat?
Oh, Colby Calais.
Calais. Okay, there you go. She had that beautiful video that showed about really being you and not having to always dress up and put on makeup. And there's people out there like Marcy Warhef-Nadler. I mean, we've had her on the show, Fit Versus Fiction. And she talks about, you know, Alexandra, and I'm sure you know this, is how people on these shows, these Disney Channel, the Family Channel, these kids are 30 years old and playing 15 year olds. So these kids look at these kids that have, you know, these big breasts and they look amazing, but they're not really the age they're portraying on television. So there's such a skewed sense of what we should look like, right?
Absolutely. And as you said, knowledge is power. Help your kids understand that comparison is natural, but it has a dark side. And we need to know this ourselves. We need to remind ourselves, so saying it out loud to our kids and our friends helps us remember that these negative comparisons and social media can make this worse. With social media, you can make dozens or hundreds of negative comparisons in just a few minutes. So just by being aware of this can be effective, and it gives you a better chance of coping more effectively.
You know, I have a question because I find it super interesting. How has the internet become so much about this, especially certain social media tools, has become so much about the selfie? You know, like basically people taking pictures of themselves or basically promoting pictures. And these are people, like people love watching them. Like people do it for a reason because obviously they, you know, people love to see it online. So my question is more, is that kind of what's causing more anxiety for other people, for people posting these? I'm just curious.
No, you know, I think selfies are really natural. It's very human of us to like looking at human faces. Actually, one of the ways that I help people deal with emotional cravings during the day at work is have pictures of your favorite people up in your office. Like when you see your favorite kid or even your favorite puppy, you actually get a little dose of dopamine and oxytocin in your brain, like just as you would when you're in touch with them in person, when you're actually with them in real life. Have pictures of them. We like looking at pictures of other people. And I think people post selfies because really we're all looking for social validation. We're all looking for people to say, yes, I like you. I'm raising my hand and saying that I like you. And the flip side, again, is dangerous. It is very dangerous to our human selves, you know, our old lizard brain. It feels like death to be ostracized and be publicly shamed. You know, when I came out as no longer vegan a few years ago, and I write about this in Women Food Desire, it went viral. I was hugely publicly shamed, thousands of comments and shares, and people are afraid to be ostracized, even online. You know, online bullying, cyberbullying is just as dangerous as bullying in real life. So while there is a light side to it, there can be dangers to it.
You know, speaking of the selfie, I'm terrible. I'm like the selfie queen. So I actually posted today, I posted, this is my last selfie ever. And then I wrote April Fool's because people who know me and their friends, they know that but you know, part of it is I went and I actually put something up on Facebook. It's kind of personal, like why I post so many selfies. And part of it was for years, I hated the way I looked. I felt bad about myself. And now finally I feel good about myself. And I like the way I look and I like to, you know, but there's like a mix of, and you know, you hit on it too, Alexandra. I like that social validation. I like people being like, hey, looking good, or hey, nice to see you. So there's some issues I'm still working through, but I am a selfie queen, I admit it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. It's fun to connect with people that you don't live near. But there's a couple of rules that you can use to try to help protect your own confidence and to teach your children as well. One rule is to stay off social media when you're sad or depressed. Mm. You know, depression creates a risk for making more comparisons. And as well as, you know, you have this negativity bias and you'll just start automatically seeking negative comparison. And if your child is feeling down or blue, it's time to do something else. A fun activity, something you can do together. That's a much better idea. And then, you know, go in with a plan of what you're going to look at and how you're going to do that. And then give yourself a time limit so you don't get caught in this like downward spiral and you're on there for hours and you can't get out.
I love that you said that. I mean, social media is tough. It is a vortex for sure. Once you start, it's hard to get off it very quickly. But I love that you said that. People who are listening, if you're listening, stay off social media if you're not feeling good so you can avoid that comparison, feeling bad about what other people are doing. Thanks, Alexandra. Love the insight. Love having you on the show. I'm Andrea Donsky. Actually, no, I just want to tell you, if you want to learn more about Alexandra, you go to her website, alexandrajamieson.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at DeliciousAlex. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.